Good morning. I want to thank everybody again for coming together and worshiping. As always, thank you to the singers for their help and everyone that's been part of this production. You guys work so hard, and I want to thank you for your hard work. I'm going to bring a lesson. My name is Frank Davis. I'm the lead evangelist, senior pastor of Haven Rock, and I want to welcome you to our worship again. Let's say a prayer, and I'll go on with the lesson. Amen. Dearly Father God, thank you so much for the love that you have for us. Thank you for allowing us to come here this morning to worship. And I just pray that we can be the vessels of your grace. Help us to hear your word. Help us to receive it. Help us to let your Holy Spirit change our lives. Father, we pray all this in your name and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hope you guys are doing great. Again, It's an honor to be here. Let me hop into it. Obviously, we're watching church from home, right? This is visual church, virtual church. Been doing it now for a few months. And there's still a lot going on. There's the COVID-19 stuff and everything going on around us. And so it's a lot of assaulting our system. So this is why the topic for this morning is eyes on the prize. Eyes on the prize. Now, what's that about? Well, you know, a lot of times, let's think about college. If you ever attended college, everybody goes there and you get there as a freshman and you're raring to go. And, you know, if you go away to school, you're excited to finally get away from your parents and you're out on your own and you got all these plans and dreams or whatever. And what you find out in college is that success of all these freshmen coming in has very little to do with the SAT score or the ACT score, very little to do with who they were in high school. The truth is, once you get there, the party's going on, is this going on, the function's going on, there's so much many things other to do than study. There's so much going on other than being a student. And the people who are successful are the ones that keep focus. And it's hard, man. I mean, it's hard. I went to University of Maryland way back in the dark ages, and there was so much going on, so many people, always a party, always something to do, to keep your eyes on the prize of being a student and graduating and having good grades. That was tough. But you had to have the ability to block it out, right, and focus. And a lot of us, most of us, it took up maybe having bad grades that first semester to get it in gear after that, right? But you got to get it in focus. And the ones that can't focus, no matter how smart they are, no matter what the test scores were coming in, no matter what school they attended on the way in, if you're not able to focus, you're not able to succeed. Now you say, Frank, okay, that's great. What does that have to do with being a disciple? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because we have to keep our eyes on the prize spiritually in the same way. Because there are a lot of things hitting us all at once. And there's the normal life stuff. The normal bills and the normal health challenges and family challenges and relationship challenges and our work and our jobs and all that stuff is going on. And our own sinful nature, you know, we're struggling with lust, and we're struggling with loneliness, and we're struggling with despair, all that stuff that we deal with normally. The family conflicts, and friend conflicts, and job, all that stuff. And on top of that stuff, we have the brand new dynamic, which, to confess, it feels like we've been COVID country for 10 years now. It's been a few months. But it's a brand new dynamic. If you've been blessed to be able to work from home, that's a new challenge, a new dynamic. Trying to juggle that in your family, and it's still tough, and it's gotten old, right? And all the pressure of man, as things open up, should I go? If I do go out, and is it safe? Am I going to make my family sick? Am I going to become sick? Like, there's a lot of pressure that, on top of the normal pressure, and a lot of distractions on top of the normal distractions, and challenges on top of the normal challenges, the health challenges, financial challenges, some of us have lost our jobs, you know, all of that. A lot going on. And there's the very public fight and very righteous fight for racial justice, right? And so all that's going on, and that's a lot hitting our senses, and there's a lot, you know, man, just weighing us down if we're honest. But just like with school, we've got to find a way to keep our eyes on the prize. So that's the message today. We're going to talk about that. And the first part of keeping your eyes on the prize, I want to talk about jars of clay. Jars of clay. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in what? Jars of clay. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Okay, this is a great passage. And Paul has talked in 2 Corinthians very openly about the struggles and challenges that he's had and his companions have had and how they fear for their life and they've endured all these different things. And that it makes them able to minister to the trials of others and the trials that they're having in Corinth. But he goes on to say, for him and for them, hey, these things are going on, but we have this amazing treasure in jars of clay. Now look, some things are true then and now. One thing is universally true is jars are fragile and clay is cheap. I don't know that there's been a society, if it has, you know, text me, I'd love to hear about it. But I don't know if there's been a society where clay was expensive, right? Jars are fragile, clay is cheap. What has value in this example is the treasure inside the jar. Now, I don't know why you put a treasure not in a safe, but in a jar. A jar is fragile, right? And it's cheap. But this treasure is inside the jar. Now, it would be silly for someone to value the jar and not the treasure. Because the jar is fragile and the jar is cheap. And why would you treat the jar itself as if the jar were the thing of value? Well, that's the point that Paul's making, is that we're going through a lot. We're going through a lot. But we can't make the mistake of emphasizing and putting value on the body and the flesh and forgetting the spiritual treasure. The spirit in us, our soul, is the treasure. And the Holy Spirit that Christ has given us is that treasure. And that treasure that the Lord has given us is far more valuable than our flesh. And we have this treasure that we got to protect and serve and allow the Spirit to protect and grow in the jars of clay. And sometimes in our society, it's all about the flesh. It's all about where you live and what you got and how much you make and who you're with, right? And how you look. He says, man, that's clay and it's fragile. And you can put your stock in that, but that's not the part of you that has value. It's the you on the inside that has value. And it's what God is doing with you that has value. He says, man, he says, for my own sake, I've been crushed, perplexed, persecuted, abandoned, but I've not been in despair. I meant persecuted. I've not been in despair. I have not been abandoned. I have not been destroyed. They strike me down. I get back up. Why? Because I understand that the power in me, yeah, my flesh is weak. My flesh is a jar. It's fragile. But the spirit in me is strong. And no matter what I've gone through or what I'm going through, that treasure not only is it something to value and be protected, that treasure protects me. And that treasure fights for me. And that treasure is worth fighting for. But we've got to keep our eyes on the prize and understand that there's something, God is doing something. With every challenge, there's an opportunity to grow. For every challenge that hits our flesh, right, there's an opportunity to do something great for God. For everything that we endure, there, if we endure it with faith, there's a possibility of God enriching that spiritual treasure inside us. But we've got to put our faith in the treasure and not in the jar. And not make our life about comparing our jar to the size of somebody else's, or our success to somebody else's, but to understand that there's a treasure worth fighting for and dying for, and that God is doing something great. And if we can keep that perspective, we won't be crushed, and we won't be abandoned, and we won't be destroyed, even though we're perplexed, and we're hurt, and we're struck down, we'll get back up. Because that treasure will give us the strength to persevere. But the question for me and for you is, what is our faith in? Is it in the jar or in the treasure? And what do we value the most? What are we fighting for the most? What are we investing in the most? Is all my investment in the jar? All through prayer and obedience and reading the word and living out the word, am I putting my investment in what? In that treasure. Because that treasure will endure, and that treasure has value long after the jar is gone. And that treasure has the power to help me endure now and to endure in the future. But I've got to keep my eye on the prize and understand that, man, this is a spiritual battle, first and foremost. And you know, if this is a spiritual war, first and foremost, and I can't let anything distract me from that. Does that make sense? Let's talk about the next part of keeping our eyes on the prize, and that's do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Let's go on and read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 some more. Starting with verse 16. It's therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Okay, so what do we have here? We got a situation where he says, look, we've got to understand that our treasure is in jars of clay. We've got to emphasize that treasure. But that doesn't mean that we're not going through stuff. We are going through stuff. And we are going through trials. Are you going through something right now? Are you having some trials right now? Have you felt overwhelmed or felt anxiety or felt, man, how am I going to do this one more day? And this past week, I have. You know, have you felt the cumulative pressure of everything just kind of on your spirit? And it just feels overwhelming. I have. Paul did too. And so he gave them the encouragement at the beginning of this section in verse 16. He says, look, I get all that. Do not lose heart. Outwardly, we're wasting away. I don't know if that's an encouragement or not. He says, look, no matter what we do, I mean, no matter what, how much we exercise, diet, whatever, right? The body's getting older, we're wasting away. Hey, I'm sorry to break it to you. So that was Paul's way of encouraging us. I don't know I feel encouraged by that, but that's the fact, right? But he says, look, let me help you out with something, though. Inwardly, if we walk in faith, through the struggles that we have, we're being renewed day by day. And we can be renewed every day. We can be built up even as we go through trials on the outside. We can be built up on the inside. But even though we endure things on the outside, and this is a man that endured a lot. He was beaten. He was in prison. He was running for his life. He had times with plenty of times he had nothing. He wasn't just talking hypothetically, right? He says, guys, look, no matter what we're going through, we can be renewed day by day. And we can have something that the world doesn't have. Perspective. He says, these are light and momentary struggles. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I don't really appreciate Paul calling my struggles light and momentary, because they don't feel that way. They feel catastrophic, right? He says, no, these are light and momentary struggles. And you've got to keep your eye on the prize, which is the big picture. Because let me tell you something. This is not your life. This isn't your life. Yeah, you know, we go to the movies. Well, we used to go to the movies. Hopefully we'll go again. And you get to the movies, if you get there a little bit earlier, even if you get on time these days, there's a whole lot of stuff that gets shown before the movie. So the movie's a 9:30 show, right? And then get there at 9:30 and say, okay, well, look, okay, great. And you got your popcorn or whatever, and you're going to watch a movie. Ha ha, you think you're going to watch a movie. Because they got the previews. And then they have commercials. And then they have some other commercials. And then, and the previews were previews of TV shows and things that you don't even care about. And then after all that, they have the preview of other movies coming out. Right? And they have that going on. And so it's about 20, 25 minutes of that, and then the movie starts. Okay? Now, the preview isn't the movie. Right? Something happens, but it's not the movie itself. The movie is the movie. I paid money to see the movie, not the previews. Not the commercials, right? Not the ads. I paid money for the movie. That has value. And it lasts longer than the previews. So what's his point? What's the point of that analogy? He's saying, look, this is, your life is the preview of, what you think is your life is the preview of your life. And the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years you spend on this earth, that's a commercial. But the movie starts when the commercials are over. And if you've been a disciple, if you walk the walk, it's a wonderful movie. Now look, if you're not in Jesus, it could be a horror movie. That's what it's going to be. So look, it's all the incentive in the world to get our lives right. Amen? But he says, for those that walk in God, it's a wonderful movie that runs forever. That's your life. This is not your life. This, it's about getting, I go into the movies, I'm trying to get through the previews to get to the movie. He says, look, what we're doing now is getting through the 70, 80, 90, 100 years of our life, whatever it is, to get to the main event. And in comparison to the glory of our real life, these are light and momentary troubles. Don't lose heart. Well, how do we not lose heart? You keep your eyes on the prize. That's how you keep your focus, you know, whether it's school or it's a team or whatever it is. If you know that you're going to graduate, and let's focus, you keep your eye on the prize as you go through tests and challenges in school. If you believe you're going to win the game, you go through, keep your eye on the prize through tour days and the training. For the love of that paycheck, we keep our eyes on the prize as we endure work. He says, man, with your life, with your spiritual life, don't think heaven is something silly. Oh, yeah, heaven, yeah, I want something practical. No, what's practical is you keep your eye on the prize. And understand, this is the preview. There's a movie, there's glory ahead. This is worth it. Do not lose heart. Do not make your focus people, what people are doing for you. Keep your focus on spiritual things because it has true value. This is the jar that is the treasure. And in comparison to what's ahead, this is light and momentary. And this is a man that went through terrible things, right? But that was his perspective. You ever gone back and visit your elementary school? Or even your junior high school, middle school, whatever. But you go back, I don't know about you, or maybe the house you grew up in or whatever. And when I imagine the places I lived or went to or the people I knew when I was small, everything was big. You know, the desk where I worked when I was in second grade was a big desk. It was a big room. The teachers were very, very tall, right? And everything was huge. It was so, so big. And then you go and you visit elementary school and you realize there's a little teeny desk and there's little teeny rooms, and the house you lived in wasn't like a million square feet. It wasn't that big. Oh, this wasn't that spacious. You know, how we saw things when we were small is not how you see things when we're big. He says, what Paul says is how you see things through spiritual eyes. It's not the way you see things when we look through unspiritual eyes. It's not that the problems aren't real. It's that God is bigger. It's not that the obstacles aren't challenging. It's that God is stronger. It's not that the hurt doesn't hurt, but God heals. He says, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the treasure. Keep your eyes on the movie. Keep your eyes on the prize, and you'll be able to not lose heart. Because you'll see the struggle and you'll see the Lord. And you'll see the ways the Lord is even working to bless you and bless others through your struggle. And that's the Paul's point in the first chapter. Is that, man, we're going through ridiculously hard times, but we're encouraged that God is blessing you through our hardship. And a lot of times God blesses people through the hardship that we're going through. But you can only notice that if you look through spiritual eyes. I mean, right in the middle of this craziness, hope has been saved. I mean, think about it. In the middle of this pandemic, everything going on, Hope Igbinoghene has been saved. Nicole has been saved. Ethan has been saved. Stephen Payne has been saved. You know what? Just on Thursday, Brian McDonald got baptized and he's been saved. In the middle of this madness, people are finding God. People are coming to God. And God is working in those amazing ways and others amazing ways and using the obstacles and trials, even the hardship and pain to bless other people. I don't like going through pain, but it helps me to understand that sometimes my hardship is not only a blessing for me long term, because God's renewing my spirit and building my character through my trials, but it can be a blessing to somebody else. He says, look through spiritual eyes. Look to see, yes, the trials are real, but your God is bigger, and your God is always working to bless you and to bless other people through you. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your faith in the Lord. He's got you. Don't lose heart. Don't put your focus on the jar. Put your focus on the treasure. If we do that, God will be glorified and we'll see amazing things happen. To God be the glory. Amen. That concludes the message. I hope it was helpful. We've got small groups today and again on Wednesday. If you want to learn more about them, feel free to contact us. And we'll get you set up in a small group. We'd love to have you. At this time, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take communion in our small groups. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your Son and your love and your glory and your grace. Thank you for the blood that was sacrificed on the cross, the body that was sacrificed. So we take the bread and the wine. To God, I pray that we remember who you are. We pray to God to focus on the treasure and not the jar. We pray to focus on who you are and not lose heart. We pray to let you use us to be a blessing to others, even as we go through trials. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. We pray all this in your name and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.